a.m. The guest speaker will be Pastor Emeritus Theodore Williams of New Faith Church of Houston, Texas, a native of Mount Triumph and a native of the Bayou Rapids community. On Monday, we'll be culminating this event with a one-night revival at 6:30 p.m. at the Mount Triumph Baptist Church, where Pastor Williams will also be the guest speaker. We encourage all those who are in the area to come and celebrate with us. The theme for this event will be the church letting its light shine in a dark world. That's Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 16. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. God bless.
Say every praise.
Thank you for listening to the radio broadcast ministry of the Mount Triumph Baptist Church.
Good morning, KAYT listening audience. This is Pastor Larry D. Smith of Rose of Sharon, a century-old Baptist church located at 1401 Martin Luther King Drive. Our hearts and doors are always open, and we invite you to come and grow with us. Our worship service begins at 11 a.m. each Sunday, with communion on the third Sunday. Sunday school starts at 9:30, and our weekly Bible study is on Tuesday evenings at 6 p.m. In the coming weeks, we invite you to tune in to our broadcast every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. We are excited, ecstatic about sharing the Word of God with you. Comments or donations to help support our radio ministry can be sent to Rose of Sharon Baptist Church, P.O. Box 163, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71301. Thanks in advance, and we look forward to hearing from you. And now we go into our service already in progress.
In Psalms 51, King David lost his joy. He lost it. You know why King David lost his joy? Because he had been getting in devil men. You know why King David lost his joy? Because he let his flesh get the best of him. And he had done some things that he wasn't proud of. And so King David's bones start to dry up, and he started to wither away, and he felt God's presence leaving him and getting further and further away. See, I have to come to church every Sunday. I have to read the Bible every week. I have to preach every Sunday, because if I don't, something starts to happen to me. I get further and further and further away. I have to be here. Don't know about you, but I need to be here. My gas tank gets low, and by Sunday morning, I'm operating on fumes, so I got to be here. Oh, maybe it's just me. Yeah, King David was operating on fumes. King David's gas tank was low. King David had committed the unthinkable. King David had done some stuff that most men never even dreams of. I'm talking about King David, the Lord is my shepherd, David. I'm talking about King David, the apple of God's eye, David. I'm talking about King David, who told Goliath, if you come at me, I'm gonna weigh you out with the Lord. That's the King David I'm talking about. Listen at him. In the 51st Psalms, when he had lost his joy, and when his bones started to get weak and wither, and when he started to do worse and worse and worse, King David said, I'm going to stop this. I know what to do. Listen at him. He said, have mercy on me, O God. Sometimes you just got to ask the Lord to have mercy on you. I could have cried the other day. I was visiting with somebody we all love and we all communicated with. And they're still there. The mind is getting further and further away. But because she was so strong in the gospel, say, you know who I am? Say, yeah, your name, Herman. What church you go to? I go to Herman Banks Church.
And every once in a while, there is a stage in psychology, it's called catatonomy, where your mind gets stuck in a certain place, just like an old 45 record that gets scratched, and when the needle hits that scratch, it stays right there. So every once in a while, she would say, "Lord, have mercy on me." Don't know her name, don't know where she at, but she got sense enough to say, "Lord." Got sense enough to say, "Lord, have mercy." And that's what we need to say sometimes. And, you know, we've heard "Lord, have mercy" so much. We say it so much, it has lost its meaning. But look at David. David said, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to what? Your loving kindness." He said, then he says, "Blot out my transgressions. Forgive me. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me." Come on, David, cleanse me from my sin. David said, "I acknowledge my wrongdoings." David said, "I acknowledge my transgression. I don't need nobody else to tell me what I did. I know what I did. I don't need nobody else to point it out to me. I feel it in my heart. I feel it in my spirit. I'm drying up. I'm dissipating. I'm disappearing. I'm going to hell in a handbasket because of something that I did." And then David backs up and said, "Create in me a clean heart and renew." "Since I was shaped in iniquity and in sin my mother conceived me, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit in me, restore," listen. He says, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." I'm just trying to tell you with this first point, my brothers and sisters, that we have been delivered. We've been forgiven. And if that doesn't bring joy to your heart, then I don't know what will. A joyful heart, I tell you, is good medicine. Secondly, my brothers and sisters, as I hurry along, the second reason for a joyful heart is this. We have a great task to perform. We have work to do in the kingdom of God. And you can't do God's work complaining. You can't do God's work with your mouth pushed out. You can't do God's work backstabbing and backbiting. We have a great, most people who deal with others, my brothers and sisters, realize that the best medicine they can give a person who is depressed or distressed is to give them something to do. The bigger the task, the better. Because the more they're involved in helping others, they tend to forget about their own problems and are healed in the process. You want a task to perform? We got one right here at the church. You didn't know I was going that way with it, did you? You want a task to perform besides just coming in here every Sunday? We got all kind of tasks to perform right here in God's house, right here in the family of God. Well, give me an example of what you mean, spreading the gospel. The Great Commission says, "Go ye there, teach all men, baptize them in my name." The scripture says, until this gospel has been preached throughout the world, only then will the end come. We haven't completed the task. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There is still lost people, lost friends, neighbors, relatives, people who don't know Jesus. God says, here is your task. Here is your task. Tell somebody about this man called Jesus. Let them know that he's Lord of Lords and he's King of Kings. That he loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth him, that's the task we have to perform. Well, maybe I can drive it home with this old story. I think I told you before, but I kind of took something out of it and added something to it. There's an old legend that I heard that as I move along about when Jesus went back to heaven. When he arrived, the angel Gabriel asked, Lord, how did it go down there on earth? Jesus answered, well, it went okay. I accomplished what I set out to do. I healed the sick, unstopped deaf ears, gave sight to the blind, fed the hungry, clothed the naked. And then I went all the way to the cross for mankind's sin. That's, Gabriel, how it went down there. And then Gabriel, curious, asked him, but do the people appreciate what you did for them? Do they realize what you really did for them, Jesus? And Jesus said, well, some of them do. Peter, James, John, and a few others. Then Gabriel asked, but how about the rest of the world? How about the churches throughout the nation? Do they realize what you did? Jesus says, well, how will they know, Gabriel said, how will they know what you did? Jesus says, well, here is my plan. I plan for Peter, James, John, and Andrew, and the rest to tell others. And when these people hear about it, then they will each tell somebody else until the whole world knows who I am, where I came from, and what I did for each one of them. Then old Gabriel wouldn't let him off the hook because he realized the weaknesses and the flaws in mankind, and especially in Jesus' disciples. And so Gabriel said, what if they fail? What if Peter, James, and John, and Thomas, and Matthew, and Luke, what if they don't tell anybody? Or what if they go to sleep on you like they did in the Garden of Gethsemane? What if Peter denies you and act like he don't know you? What if the rest of them, when you had to go to the cross, what if they run off on you? Tell me, Jesus, What other plan do you have?
Jesus looked straight, they tell me, in Gabriel's eyes. And he said, I have no other plan. And I've come to tell you this morning that the plan is still for me and for you. To tell somebody about this man named Jesus. And for the two of us to find two more and tell them about Jesus. And since two and two is four, for the four of us to find four more and tell them about Jesus. And since four and four is eight, for the eight of us to find eight more and tell them about Jesus. And since eight and eight is 16, for 16 of us to find 16 more and tell them about Jesus until the word is spread throughout the world. Yes, my brothers and my sisters, there is no other plan. You want a job in the kingdom of God? I've come to tell you that you have one. And when we do it the way the Lord said to do it, when we do it right, then our hearts are filled with joy. The kind of joy that the world could never understand. Well, thirdly, the third element that brings joy to our hearts is for us to trust God. Every married person in here knows that it's difficult for a marriage to survive unless there is trust between the two. Am I right about it? You know what I'm talking about. You can't watch no woman and women. You ain't got enough eyesight to watch men. We have to trust in our relationship, and we have to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not to our own understanding. In that same way, a Christian life can be a meaningful experience when we learn how to lean and depend on Jesus. Jesus has a word that he used over and over again. In the Greek language, it's called tharsay. T-H-A-R-S-A-Y. It means to cheer up. And is often translated to be courageous, to take heart, don't be afraid, and to fear not. Tharsay. Let me just give you an example of this, and I'll let you go.
A paralyzed man was brought to Jesus in Matthew 9, 2 and 6. And Jesus said to him, "Son, take heart. Your sins are forgiven. Get up, son. Stand up. Take your mat and go home." And immediately the man picked up his bed with joy in his heart. He started jumping and he started running, saying, "I got to tell somebody about this man called Jesus." Again in Matthew 14, 27, Jesus walked out on the stormy sea of Galilee and looked into the eyes of his frightened disciples, and they were rowing and rowing, struggling, trying to get out of the storm. And when Jesus saw that they were afraid, they thought that they had seen a ghost, he said, "Thus say, take courage, don't be afraid, old church, in the storm of life, you ought to be able to hear Jesus. You ought to be able to hear Jesus in your difficulties, in your distress, when your back is up against a wall. You ought to be able to hear Jesus say, thus say, take courage, chill, be not afraid, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." On that last night in the upper room, Jesus once again starting to tell his disciples that he was going to the cross. But they got sad. They got distressed. Distress filled their hearts because they didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say. But if you look at John 16 and 33, I hear Jesus when he told his disciples, "I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. In this world you will have some trouble. In this world you're gonna have problems. In this world you're gonna have sickness. In this world you're gonna have difficulty." But I hear Jesus saying, "Take heart, because I have overcome. I've overcome the world. You and I, we got limited control. You and I don't know what's gonna happen. You don't know what's gonna happen the next second. You don't know what's gonna happen the next minute. You don't know about tomorrow. But I know, I know, I know who holds my hand. Maybe some bad things are are going to come to pass, but there is this trust, this sacred bond, which brings strength to our lives. You know why? You know why? Because I hear the voice of Jesus. I hear him saying, cheer up, fear not, a joyful heart is good medicine in this day. The Lord will make a way. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad. Is he all right? Is he all right? Do you know he's all right? He'll give you joy in sorrow. Put joy bells in your heart. Put running in your feet. He died, but he didn't stay dead, because early Sunday morning, he got up out of the grave with all power in his hand. Do you know him? Do you know him? Is he all right? Is he all right? Let me hear you say, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's all right. He's all right. Hey, hey. A joyful. A joyful. I don't care what you're going through, how much of what you're going through, how tall the mountain or wide the river, weeping, may endure for a night. That's the word of God. That's the word of God. But joy, unspeakable joy comes in the morning. Chill. Take heart. Don't be afraid. Thoughts say. God bless you. Thank you.
Oh, water, be fine. Somebody open the doors up.
You've been listening to the Rose of Sharon Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Larry D. Smith at 1401 Martin Luther King Drive. Rose of Sharon Missionary Baptist Church, 11 o'clock a.m. service every Sunday with communion service on the third Sunday. Join us each and every Saturday at 10:30 right here on KAYT 88.1. Thanks for listening and tune in every Saturday at 10:30 right here for the Rose of Sharon Missionary Broadcast on KAYT.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. The gospel. is on the radio.